Good evening and welcome to Sports Takeover. This is Matt and Chris. You are listening to RMU Radio. We have a busy show, so let's get to it. We're going to start with football, specifically the National Football League, where we are now a quarter of the way through the season. There's a lot still going on. What we know for sure is that our number of unbeatens has shrunk considerably.
Pretty much halved.
Yes, our winless teams, we still have quite a few out there looking for number one. And at 2-2, right smack dab in the middle, we have what feels like everybody, Chris.
Yeah, so last week there were 8 undefeated teams. 7 were perfectly undefeated. Detroit had 2 wins, 1 tie, no losses. This weekend saw that number shrink from 8-3. New England, Kansas City, and San Francisco are the only remaining undefeated. San Francisco, by way of the bye, they just rode through the sunset and watched everybody else crash and burn. Now, there were 2 undefeated matchups. New England played Buffalo. Close game. New England won. Brady did not look good. Buffalo looked very strong. Regardless, New England got the win. Kansas City played Detroit. Probably the best game of the week, I would say. It was back and forth for a lot of it. Mahomes did not throw any touchdown passes. The Chiefs still won, so there went Detroit. Green Bay decided to not play Thursday night against the Eagles, and they lost immediately before anybody else even got the opportunity to play Sunday. And the Rams' defense looked about as effective as a high school defense as they let Jameis Winston and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers put up 54 points on them. So there was a lot of problems for sure.
Yeah, a lot of undefeated teams certainly looked like different teams, at least in some regard, on Sunday. The Rams' defense blew my mind. I don't know what happened to them. I mean, Tampa Bay's got an offense that has been able to do some damage in the past. I think they were a top 5 offense, at least statistically, in yardage last year.
Yeah, they can put up the points.
But of course, Winston's turnovers usually seem to hurt them, and their defense isn't spectacular. They gave up 40, but they got the job done, and down go the Rams. Down goes my bold prediction that the Rams would be the last remaining unbeaten team. I also boldly quick-picked the Detroit Lions and the Buffalo Bills, who...
Not your finest moment.
Hey, for the first 58 minutes of both of their games, they certainly were very much in it. And if you're the Detroit Lions, you were in the lead and controlled the game at times. But for the Lions, there were too many turnovers in the red zone. A touchdown that was overturned to be followed by a Matt Stafford fumble. There's a Kerryon Johnson fumble at the goal line. Just too much not going their way. I mean, those are big swings, too. And that fumble by Johnson was returned on that play the whole way for a touchdown. That's a 14-point swing right there, and that makes a huge difference in the end. Detroit's for real, but they couldn't get the job done. The Bills gave the Patriots their best test of the season so far, the first offense to actually score a touchdown against that Patriots defense. If it wasn't for Allen throwing horrible interceptions, I mean, he's been decent this season and was decent last year, but bad interceptions, and of course he leaves the game with an injury, so that makes a difference there.
Yeah, he got knocked out with a concussion protocol in the fourth quarter.
Bad hit.
Yeah, it was bad. Well, the worst part about that hit was there was a offsetting penalty, so effectively nothing happened from it except Josh Allen was taken out of the game. I don't believe the Patriots player got fined. I mean, he should have. It was a helmet to helmet hit.
Yeah, I don't think he got fined. I don't think he got thrown out.
It was clearly a problem, but did not seem to be seen as much by the league. And I didn't know who their backup was. I've gone through the ranks of E.J. Manuel and Kyle Orton and Ryan Fitzpatrick over the years. But no, it's Matt Barkley, the former USC standout who has done next to nothing in NFL, bounced around, was with the Eagles, found himself on the Bills sideline this week and in the game against the Patriots, which if you're a backup, you want to play. But I think in this situation, he probably would have liked to remain on the sideline. Either way, he got thrown into the fire and obviously could not put it out as the Patriots defense, which their defense is
really good.
It's... could be the best defense in the league.
Potentially.
They've played some bad teams, but there is nothing on this defense that is a weakness. Great pass rush. They can do well against the run. Their defensive back core is great. Their safeties are amazing. There's no shortcomings on this defense, which whenever you look at the picture of who's at the top of the league, the Patriots, their offense is good. Tom Brady did not play very well against Buffalo. Whatever Sean McDermott and the Buffalo Bills did, he needs to start sharing his secrets with the rest of the league because Tom Brady looked extremely ineffective. I believe he was about 18 for 39 or something.
Yeah, that sounds right. Something along those lines.
200 yards or something. It was a bad performance by him, but New England still got the job done because they're a team that knows how to win. Even whenever they don't have their best players performing at their best ability, they still get the job done. The same thing can be said for the Chiefs in their game. Patrick Mahomes threw no touchdown passes. He threw no interceptions either. But when you have a guy who puts up 50 touchdowns last season, pretty much on his way to 50 again this season, get shut out, essentially, that looks really good. However, Chiefs still put up 34. And like you mentioned, it, those two fumbles, it was huge. It was the breaking point of the game. One was a touchdown was called back, which I think it was fair. They got Golladay juggled the ball in the end zone. It was
close.
Yeah, it was very hard to say, but ended up not being called a touchdown. Next play, Stafford ends up fumbling it. There goes 7 points. Kerryon Johnson fumbles on the goal line. Pretty much 20 guys on the field except for the one that picked up the ball had no idea what was going on. This Chiefs player picks it up, goes 100-yard sprint down the field just saying, you know, coach says ran out to play. Well, he got a touchdown for it because it was a loose ball, live ball, no whistles had been blown. So, yes, these breaks do help teams, but these are the differences between good teams and great teams. They can maybe find the shortcomings. You know, they let Stafford drive down the field a few times, but they didn't let him get in the end zone. Even after they went down, Mahomes was able to drive the Chiefs back down the field repeatedly, take the lead. Harrison Butker missed a kick in the first half, didn't let it come in their way. They still got the job done. That's the difference between teams that are good on the bubble and teams that are great and can get the job done.
That's fair. Looking at some teams that have not gotten the job done yet, the Jets were off this week, but they're still looking for their first win. Miami had their first lead of the season, ultimately could not hold on to that for very long. The Denver Broncos, I think, are one of the most disappointing teams in football.
They're struggling.
For. The Cincinnati Bengals faltered against the Steelers. Now, the Bengals have not played well against the Steelers in recent memory.
Eight straight losses to them now? Seven straight?
Yes.
Nine? So
in that ballpark.
Somewhere around that.
Andy Dalton is 3-13, I think, now against the Steelers in his career. He has a winning record against the other two AFC North teams, but struggles against Pittsburgh. So for me, in Pittsburgh, this wasn't a game that I thought Cincinnati was going to win anyway. However, they looked bad.
Their offensive line looked PG
and
league.
I mean, I think the Steelers looked significantly better in this game. We need to see more games to see whether or not this is the Steelers making improvements or the Bengals just being that bad. But certainly right now it doesn't look good. Washington's at 0-4 and they play New England this week. So we're not going to learn anything new about either of those teams because it's just going to be more of the same there as far as I'm concerned. And Arizona is the most successful of the winless teams as it is they have a tie. But they're still without a win.
And beyond that tie, Arizona, they've been close, but the margin is getting further and further throughout the weeks. As teams warm up more in the season, they didn't really put up a contest this week against the Seahawks. Kyler Murray, there's definitely some room to grow. He is not the lights-out number one overall pick that I'm sure he and many other fans in Arizona would like to see, but it's growing pains for Arizona. I don't think anybody expected this to be a good season for them. I know you and I certainly did not, so what they're going through is fine. The Bengals, I believe both of us thought were going to be awful, and I obviously haven't seen a Bengals game yet because why would I go out of my way to watch the Cincinnati Bengals football game? But, man, they don't have a lot going for them. A.J. Green has not played yet this season. Not sure when he's going to return. He's clearly their best player, offense and defense. Not anywhere to be found. Joe Mixon was a very effective running back last year. Top five, I believe, in rushing overall. Well, when your offensive line cannot block for more than 2 seconds at a time, you're not going to do much.
Andy Dalton knows that all too well, being sacked 8 times.
And the Steelers have a very good pass rush. They have for the last few seasons. But, man, eight times in one game. That's rough. And Andy Dalton, he's kind of – what's the next move for him? I mean
– he just needs some help. I mean –
he does. He's been with this team for 8 years. They've had much – they had success in his early years. They won a few division titles. Then they blew a wild card game against the Steelers, and they have had 3 straight losing seasons and – are far on their way to a 4th straight. It's
a very, very slow rebuild, if you even want to call it a rebuild.
I don't know if you can.
Cincinnati. It's not what it looks like. It just looks like a bad football team.
They don't have pieces that are, I'm thinking, 2 years, this is the guy. I mean, yes, Joe Mixon and A.J. Green will be good still, but they're not doing enough for a wholesale flip around of their team. I don't think they'll be as bad as the Browns were for as long as they were, but it essentially looks like they are as good as Cleveland was 5 years ago.
Yeah, they really, really are just not a good football team.
And Denver, like you said, 0-4.
A lot of close games. They just can't get it done.
Well, like we said last week, they hadn't had an interception or sack going into this week. Thankfully, they broke that streak this week. But they had a game against the Bears they could have won. They did not. Oakland, they looked bad against. Do you remember who they played their second game?
Not offhand, no.
No, but this week they play the Jaguars. Had a lead late in the game, and Gardner Minshew, he did it again. He is
another roughing the passer, by the way, which this one was warranted. It was, yes. I smacked him in the face. But again, that's the kind of thing that they're doing to themselves in these last 2 minutes of football games when they have a lead. And that's not the kind of thing you can afford to do defensively.
No, and Gardner Minshew, which, sixth-round pick, not a lot of weapons. D.D. Westbrook, D.J. Shark, those aren't household names. Leonard Fournette ran all over this defense. What, 230-some yards?
Yeah.
It was a field day for Fournette, best game of his career. He helped the Jaguars overcome the Broncos. Their other loss was against the Packers. That wasn't really that close of a game either. So there's some games they could have won. I'm sure fans think they could have won, but
realistically, though, they could be at 2-2 right now.
They could be, but like I said, for the Chiefs and the Patriots, they are able to get the job done. Denver, on the other hand, not able to get the job done. And Gardner Minshew brings me to the realm of quarterbacks who are, this guy wasn't supposed to be on this team, and somehow they're doing well this year. Him, along with Daniel Jones, along with Kyle Allen, combined are 6-1 in their 7 starts this season. That's something, ain't it, Matt?
That's fantastic. Teddy Bridgewater is another one that's doing good things. Mason Rudolph with Pittsburgh looked fantastic on Monday night. I mean,
he got the job done.
He's in very specific sets, I think.
They're being conservative
with
him.
Yes, they are. They are.
24 for 28 is not bad, though.
Right. No matter what kind of passes you're throwing, that's impressive. And yeah, you're right. There's a lot of quarterbacks doing a lot of good things, and I think that's part of the reason that we see this mess of 2-2 teams, or teams that are right around there, or exceeding expectations, or whatever the case may be. We have some weird things going on right now.
Yeah, there's 13 teams currently 2-2. That's just under half the league. The entire AFC South, Jacksonville, Houston, Tennessee, Indianapolis, all sit at 2-2. So
what a division.
Yeah, that first quarter of the season, might as well wipe it out and restart because nothing was accomplished. So now I ask this question of you. Of all 13 2-2 teams, give me two that you think have the best chance for long-term success this year.
I'm going to go with the Eagles because I had them at 13-3 coming into the year.
So obviously you want them to have success.
I don't know that they'll have that level of success after their so-so start, but if you can get healthy at wide receiver, they're learning how to use both Jordan Howard and Miles Sanders out of the backfield.
Jordan Howard had a fantastic game Thursday night.
Yeah, so I think they have the most weapons to work with, and once they figure out how to use them all or can get them all healthy, I think they'll be fine. From there, I think I'm torn between either the Vikings or the Browns.
Interesting.
It's funny that you asked this because I actually was going to talk about some 2-2 teams that I thought would end up better and some that I thought would be worse. I only had four actually being, in my mind, significantly better than the 2-2 that they're at. The other being the Chargers, but given their injuries and their so-so play, I'm buying them less and less by the week. But Cleveland is one that I've told you this before, and I think I've said it on air. I thought they would struggle early and make a push in the second half to get to the 10-6 mark that I had them at. So in my mind, them being at this 2-2 mark, I think I had them at 1-3 at this point, still going to and ending up at 10-6. So I certainly don't have any issues with the Browns right now. The Vikings are a team that I like a lot. So you asked for two, I'll give you three.
The Vikings are a difficult subject.
Yeah, they've been a team that has underperformed what on paper it looks like they should be able to do for really the last year and a half.
Their defense is good.
Yes,
Dalvin
Mike Zimmer
Cook
is a very good defensive
player. Phenomenal this season. I've raved about him pretty much every week because every time he touches the ball, he could go the distance. Then there's one player, Kirk Cousins, who looks like he is robbing the entire city of Minneapolis. He signed a lucrative deal last offseason and has yet to put up numbers that even show that he deserves half of what he has. Adam Thielen called him out this week. He said, look, the way our offense is going now, we need to be able to complete deep passes down the field. That's the way the NFL is. That's the way it's been for probably 5 to 10 years at least. He is not able to get the job done. He's passing. I don't think he has over 300 yards yet. Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen, which were two of the best fantasy receivers and probably general receivers last season, top 10 for sure, they have been rather non-existent. Diggs had a solid week this past week, but the first three have been bad. Adam Thielen only had two receptions last week. So when you have these kind of offensive weapons and you have the defense that they have, and you have Kirk Cousins under the gun, who he played well when he was with Washington. I think he was a good quarterback with Washington. I think he deserved to get paid in the offseason last year. However, the performance he's showing now shows that it's really hard to believe in Minnesota, and he needs to turn around to get the job done. But to answer my own question, Texans I love a lot. They've had some close games. They have not played very well. They lost one to the Chargers? No. Saints, they played very well against first week.
That was their best game, in my opinion.
And they lost it.
Yes.
And this past week, they lost to the Kyle Allen-led Panthers. It was only 10-point performance again, but I think they have the pieces to get it done. I don't know why they aren't. Bill O'Brien, I think, might be the problem with Houston. When you have Deshaun Watson, DeAndre Hopkins, yes, they lost Lamar Miller, but they have Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson. They have the pieces. They still have the defense. I like them, especially considering how this AFC South has not looked too strong. I think they're a good breakaway candidate. And the Chargers, I believe in a lot, simply just because they are 2-2 with all the injuries they've had. Most teams would be 1-3 at this point, but they are 2-2 still. Phillip Rivers is playing well enough. They have Melvin Gordon back. To what capacity he fills in the offense, not sure yet, because Austin Eckler has also looked strong, but I think they have the tools to get it done. Probably not to win a division with how strong the Chiefs are once again, but I think they can slip through cracks as a wild card team.
Yeah, I think the Texans could make moves just because of their division, but when you ask me about long-term success, I'm looking at playoffs too, and what I've seen so far, I don't like. Just real quick before we move on to college football, looking at the divisions right now in the AFC East, it's just New England and Buffalo, one game separating the two of them.
But it's just New England.
We'll see. We'll see. Buffalo looked good. We'll see. AFC North, it's anybody's game. 2-2 leads it. 1-3, the Steelers are right behind, and they play the Ravens, who are 2-2, so things could look even more interesting.
Could be a 2-3 leader next week.
You never know. AFC South, it just anybody's guess. Everyone's 2-2. AFC West, it's the Chiefs at the top, 4-0. That's a two-game lead for them already off the bat. I see it being unrealistic that they relinquish that lead. In the NFC, it's the Dallas Cowboys leading the Philadelphia Eagles and the New York Giants, both at 2-2. The Giants won't stay there. The Eagles will get better. Dallas will get a run for their money by virtue of the Eagles. NFC North, this division looks good. Green Bay's 3-1, Chicago's 3-1, Detroit's 2-1-1, Minnesota's 2-2. That's a good division. That's a tight division. I think it's going to be one of the most exciting races. NFC South, it's the Saints at 3-1. Panthers and Buccaneers are both at 2-2. I don't totally believe in either of them. The Falcons are at 1-3. I don't believe in them either. So I think
disappointing me, Matt.
I know they are. I think the Saints are fine. NFC West, it's 49ers at 3-0. The Seahawks at 3-1, the Rams at 3-1, and then the Cardinals faltering behind. But that's going to be an interesting race as well.
Yeah, especially the Rams were a lot of people's picks to win the Super Bowl. Right now, they currently sit at third place in their division.
I mean, it's kind
early.
Of.
But still, that's where we stand right now. A lot more to be had. We'll stay tuned with that. But right now, we have college football to talk about. Some movement last week, not as much big movement. We're getting there, though. I'm smelling it. We're getting there.
Next week at this time, we're going to have big movement in college football.
Yes. This week, though, was mostly just the lower half. Number 15, Cal lost to Arizona State. Number 18, Virginia lost to Notre Dame, who was ranked number 10. Number 21, USC lost to number 17, Washington. And number 24, Kansas State lost to unranked Oklahoma State. As a result, Arizona State jumps in at 20. Oklahoma State jumps in at 21. Wake Forest, undefeated somehow, jumps in at 22. SMU, they're back. I sneaked them in last week talking about how they're 4-0 for the first time since 84. Well, they're also ranked for the first time since then. They jump in at number 24. Most of those teams I mentioned that lost fell out. Virginia, the lone exception. A new number one, though. Alabama Crimson Tide have jumped back to number one. Clemson barely beat North Carolina. Had North Carolina run any sort of two-point conversion that did not look like something I drew up in the backyard, we might be talking a lot more about college football this week. However, their two-point did not get it done. Clemson holds on to win 21-20. Big takeaway there.
I don't think there's a big takeaway there. I mean, I think it's hard to expect any team, no matter how good they are, to go through the entire season flawless. This is one that makes you nervous. I'd be more nervous if it was at home. Obviously, a loss would have been devastating. That would have been huge for Clemson, but they get the job done. I think it applies a little extra pressure, not only because Alabama jumped them, but because when it comes down to the end of the season, if they're undefeated, if Alabama's undefeated, if LSU or Ohio State or whoever else is undefeated, you're going to look back to games like this. I mean, we've referred back to Michigan barely beating Air Force multiple times. Army multiple times. Right, and they're not even in the conversation in our minds for the college football playoffs. So when it comes down to that, I think this could be rehashed and held against Clemson. As far as them not getting in the playoffs or this being, you know, oh, Clemson's done, Clemson can't take care of UNC, I'm not concerned about that.
It had been pretty much Clemson receiving the majority of the first place votes, Alabama receiving some. This week, Alabama received the majority of them. Clemson received some, but we saw a little bit more. Georgia at number three started receiving some first place votes. Ohio State, they jumped up to number four. They were number five.
Smacked Nebraska around a little bit.
Yeah, Nebraska, we can't just disrespect them enough. I'm sure they'll come up again, but yeah, they did not perform very well. Either way, Ohio State got some first place votes. They jumped back up. So we're starting to see a bigger margin of teams that are in contention for the best team now in college football. It was Alabama, Clemson, but some teams are lessening. Some teams are making themselves look better. The one takeaway I have from this Clemson game is that Mack Brown coaches UNC. Mack Brown's an excellent coach. He used to be Texas head coach. He game planned against a Matt Leinart, Reggie Bush. All that USC team could have been the best college football team ever. Mack Brown at Texas game planned against them to win the national championship with Vince Young. My takeaway from this game is that he's an excellent coach still. UNC, not a great team, had a good game plan for Clemson. It's nothing to worry about, though. Clemson is still strong. ACC still sucks. They still have a very easy path to the finals.
Yeah, next week at this time, as we get more into the conference portion of the schedule, there will be more to talk about. We have some good quick picks for college football coming up. But for now, everything's pretty much the same in the important part of college football.
That's right. So for the time being, we are going to take a break, but we got a lot of good stuff coming up.
Yes, we do.
Some MLB postseason, some NHL season preview, so please stay tuned.
Welcome back to Sports Takeover, Matt and Chris. We are going to move on from a football season that's already in progress to an NHL season that is just getting underway. Games are starting tonight. They are being played as we speak.
Goals have already been scored.
That has nothing to do with what we're going to talk about,
though. No, but it's
because
exciting.
We are looking season long here. As we did last year, we're going to talk about some division winners, make a Stanley Cup final prediction, and see what other kind of movement we might see in the standings or what kind of performances we might see individually along the way. So, Chris, go ahead and get us started.
The last time we talked about hockey, I believe we were still in the second round, and St. Louis had no chance to be the Stanley Cup champion. They barely had a chance to make the playoffs. Well,
how foolish we
tonight
were.
They'll be raising their first Stanley Cup banner. They already got their rings. They'll be singing Gloria all night as they face off against the previous Stanley Cup champion, the Washington Capitals. Now, somehow St. Louis got it done, and really their team doesn't look a whole lot different than it did last season. Jordan Binnington will be the goalie all season. Their forwards are pretty much the same. I believe last week they traded for Justin Falk on defense. So
they did. Joel Edmondson goes the opposite way to Carolina.
Which, in my opinion, is a very good trade for St. Louis. They're a team that sees themselves as they can win now. They have essentially the same roster. I'm not so sure if they'll win again, but they certainly have all the same pieces they did last season. However, I think that the competition in the West will be a little bit more stiff this season. Dallas is a team that really jumps out to me. I thought they were good last year. They were just... they double overtime against St. Louis. They were one goal away from knocking them out in the second round. Unfortunately, didn't go their way, but I still think they're a team that is extremely strong. They added Joe Pavelski. That's a big move. Was he the biggest free agent move, I think you'd say?
No, I would say Artemi Panarin was.
Yes, you're very correct. I forgot about
Artemi
the Bread Man.
Matt Duchene going to Nashville.
Those were two
guys
good
along those lines. Bobrovsky going to Florida.
Sure. Yeah, I forgot about a lot.
But yes, Pavelski would be a top five to me. And I mean, we did our series over the summer on social media regarding what moves different teams needed to make. And for me, Joe Pavelski was a perfect fit for Dallas. He provides some secondary scoring, adds a little kick to an offense that was lacking last year. And they add Corey Perry as well, who I think still has a little bit to give. So two good options there. To talk about St. Louis a little bit, they remind me a lot of the Penguins team of 2017.
That's a good point.
In the way that they are coming off a Stanley Cup championship with a very similar roster. They also reminded me of the 2016 team in the sense that they were the hottest team in the playoffs and they just ran with it. And Jordan Binnington versus Matt Murray, it's a similar look and goal, somebody who comes on midseason. Same thing with the coach. So I think there's a lot of similarities between the Penguins team that we're very familiar with from a couple of years ago and the Blues team that we see now. To me, the biggest difference is simply the level of competition. I think when the Penguins were trying to repeat, you were looking at a Capitals team that won the President's Trophy.
They were starving for competition like
right.
that, too.
And a Tampa Bay team who, I guess, missed the playoffs that year but was very competitive the year before. To me, those were the top teams. I mean, that year the Penguins played Ottawa in the Eastern Conference Final. Not that that
Imagine
wasn't
that.
A good series as it went to Game 7, but it was just one of those that I don't think anyone necessarily took Ottawa seriously. It was enjoying it while it lasted. But to me, there's a lot more teams in the Western Conference this year to be taken seriously, and that is where the Blues, I think, could fall. I was very wrong about the Blues last year. I'll admit that. I have some more faith in them this year. But I think that the competition in the West could be tough. It will be tough.
One team I don't believe that will be in competition, specifically in their division, is the Winnipeg Jets. They are a team that is... I don't think they have an identity right now. I think they are really on the wrong path here. Unless they pull the same thing the Penguins and Blues did. I guess the formula is be a good enough team, underperform, fire your coach midseason, bring on a new goaltender, win the cup. That seems to be a formula that works. However, it's not a formula that has a lot of low risk to it. It's very high risk. But the Jets, they have a lot to be desired. Patrick Laine and Kyle Connor had only signed within the last 7 days, so they really had not been with the team through training camp. Dustin Byfuglien is on a leave of absence right now, and there's no telling when he's going to come back. And this is a team that Western Conference Finals 2 years ago, last year was supposed to be the stepping stone year. They made maybe the finals, maybe won the cup, and they lost in the first round. And they did not get any better in this offseason either.
That's the big one. They did not significantly improve. You talk about Dustin Byfuglien on defense not being around. Neither is Jacob Trouba. They
traded
him. Neither is Tyler Myers, who signed in Vancouver. So this is a team that didn't make any significant improvements, took steps back defensively, and in that central division,
there's a lot of competition.
Watch out.
There.
Watch out.
I mean, last year we saw there was 2 points separated the top three teams. Nashville one with 100, St. Louis and Winnipeg, I believe both had 99, maybe Winnipeg had 98. Either way,
Winnipeg had 99.
Okay, yeah, so there was 1 point to separate the top three teams. There was no margin for error. One win could have been the difference between playing the wild card team or playing as the third seed team. So with that little gap in the teams, and like we both think, it's only gotten stronger this year. Colorado was a team last year that was a wild card team. 2 years ago they were as well, right? Yeah, last 2 years,
yes.
They were wild card teams. 2 years ago was kind of, okay, they're knocking on the door. I guess we'll crack it open, see who's there. Last year we opened the door, let them in for one round, but they couldn't stay the whole night. I think this year they're here to stay, though. A lot of people are saying Nathan MacKinnon is a front runner for Hart, and I don't see why not. He is a top five player in the league right now. Colorado has a lot of good pieces around him. Philip Grubauer will be their starting goalie, who he needs to be able to show a little bit more than he has, but I think he's up to the challenge. Their defense is strong. Cale Makar came on out of nowhere in the playoffs and played awesome. He is a Rookie of the Year candidate right now. They recently signed Mikko Rantanen to a lucrative deal. They still have Gabriel Landeskog. This is a team that they have a lot of lethal pieces to them.
And secondary scoring was something that they did not have a lot of, and I think that was ultimately their downfall. Nazem Kadri comes over.
I don't like him, but he is a good piece.
Yeah, he's a very good piece for them. Jonas Donskoy comes over from San Jose.
I like that move a lot.
And Andrei Burakovsky comes over from the Washington Capitals. I think those are all fantastic moves.
Phenomenal.
They also add Belmar from the Vegas Golden Knights. Not as impactful,
good
but...
fourth liner.
Yeah. My only question with them is defense. I don't know that their defense is overly strong.
It's young. It needs to develop. They have Eric Johnson still, correct?
Yeah.
They traded Tyson Berry to the
They did. They
Maple
got
Leafs.
Nikita Zaitsev in return.
Yeah, Zaitsev was a guy. I think he needed a change of scenery. I'm not saying he's the same as Justin Schultz, but I think that Toronto was not necessarily the best fit for him. Maybe switching teams can help him. Eric Johnson, I think, is still a good defenseman. Tyson Berry was good, but replacing him with Zaitsev isn't the worst in the world. I like Makar a lot. Sam Girard, another young defenseman. So there's a lot of potential on this defense. They just need to translate that into something actually on the ice. But if they do, there's nothing that really can stop them.
And when Ian Cole gets healthy, that's also a very solid piece to
have.
Yeah,
if he would ever stop blocking shots.
Yeah, which he won't, and that's why people love him.
Absolutely.
So let's bring it back to the Eastern Conference, and let's talk some Metro here a little bit. The Metro, I think we have some different opinions on. It's a very interesting division to me. I legitimately see, I see a lot of solid teams here. I don't see any team that runs away with this division.
No, not at all.
And I don't see any team that gets demolished in this division.
I differ with you on that one.
Okay.
The Columbus Blue Jackets are poised to be one of the worst teams in the NHL this season.
Wow.
They went all in last year at the trade deadline. We were like, holy cow, what is Columbus doing? Well, they were just knocking off the Stanley Cup front runner, Tampa Bay Lightning, in the first round in a sweep. And then they lost the second round. And then they lost pretty much their entire team. Sergei Bobrovsky, he goes to Florida. Jonas Korpisalo is now their starter, but he's not the starter they really need or want, I don't think. He's okay, but he's not going to be able to get the job done as well as Bobrovsky did. They acquired Matt Duchene last offseason. Well, he's now going to be in a little bit warmer weather in Nashville, which I think is a good fit for him. So there's another loss there. Artemi Panarin, he has been an excellent scorer for them the past few seasons. Instead of playing for them, he will be playing against them several times as he is now in the bright lights of New York City. So all these big pieces I've mentioned are no longer on this team. This was a team that barely even made the playoffs last year. They are a wild card team. So whenever you're on the fringe already, losing all these key pieces without really getting many in return, and especially when you still have stupid John Tortorella as your head coach, I don't see a good path for this team.
Ryan Dezingle also is another one that left, who they got in the Ottawa trade
with
Matt Duchene. They add Gustav Nyquist. That's it. That's the only piece that they added.
Which I like Nyquist a lot.
I do too, but not to replace all of those guys.
Absolutely not.
I absolutely agree that they will be the worst team in the division. I don't think I have them tumbling quite as far in the whole entire league standings as you do, but I do have them at last. I have the Rangers in at 7, which is where they finished last year. I think the Rangers will be a better hockey team, adding Artemi Panarin, adding Jacob Trouba. Like, those are good pieces. Kaapo Kakko with the second overall pick. I just don't think that it's enough to accelerate a rebuild. It's not enough to leapfrog teams that also got better. I have Philadelphia at number 6, who I know you like much more than that. They added Kevin Hayes. I think that's a good move. They improved their defense, adding guys like Matt Niskanen. I just don't... I don't see them, again, being able to leapfrog teams that got better. The core is fantastic, and it has been for years. I don't think they did enough to the depth pieces to take that next step.
All they need is Carter Hart to be able to play a full season strongly.
That helps. That would help.
I believe he can. He's strong. He needs to show that he is, but I think he has the ability to. We talked about last year, they hired Alain Vigneault. He took the Rangers to the Cup. Could have taken them to a second Cup had it not been for the Lightning. So I think that's a good move for them. They seem to follow an every other year pattern. They missed last year, so this year is the time for them to come back in. Like you said, they still have the strong core. They also got Justin Braun from the San Jose Sharks. That helps shore up their defense. Shane Gostisbehere is up and down. Ivan Provorov is locked up for the team for about 6 or 7 years. I think that's a good move. I think that with Columbus falling, they will rise to basically the same position that Columbus held for the most part in this division. The Rangers I like a lot, but the only problem I have with them is I don't think this is the year for them. Next year, I think, is a year that they need to show up. This year, if they do a little bit better than they did the past season, I think they can. There's still a lot in the air. They did get Jacob Trouba, like you said, from Winnipeg, which it's a good move. It shores up their defense, which had been severely lacking, especially seeing how Kevin Shattenkirk was not the Kevin Shattenkirk they thought they were going to get with him. Henrik Lundqvist is on the way out, but as it stands, he is still a good enough goaltender to get the job done. A lot of young guys on offense, but they got Panarin to a big deal. I think he will score so well for them that he will help win them games. I am confident in saying that. He helped Columbus win many games.
I would agree.
So if you can get 5 more wins because Panarin is putting up 2-goal games or whatever, well, that's good enough for me this year. But yeah, you're right. I don't see them as good moving forward. New York Islanders are another team that are, boy.
I have them at 5.
What's going on with them?
I just don't think they made improvements. I think anybody that they lost, they just replaced. Robin Leonard leaves. Semyon Varlamov comes in. Goaltenders who play very well, but half the games for their team. I don't see that as being an impact move for the Islanders. I think they exceeded expectations last year. Their defense was fantastic, and that credit to Barry Trotz, but as other teams in this division improve, I don't see the improvement from an Islanders team that I already thought played to a higher level than they should have last year.
Yeah, that's a fair point. There's not a lot that makes me say, okay, they need to get over the speed bump last year. They did this to get over it. No, I don't really think they did a whole lot. I think they're hoping that...
They re-signed their players, and that was a key thing for them. And maybe that's all they needed to do this year and then execute on a higher level next year.
I think this is a Barry Trotz long-term problem, once again, like you saw in Washington. They are good. They are good enough. But what are they doing to get themselves over that hurdle? It took Washington so many years. They had so many opportunities. They should have won a cup. It took him until his final season with the team for them to get it done, which they eventually got it done. But I think everybody in the National Hockey League would agree that they should have won a cup far before they did. So when you look at the Islanders, who I don't believe are a strong team on paper, Trotz is a good coach. Their defense is what helped them last year. They still have a weakness at goaltender. Yes, Jordan Eberle has played well. Matthew Barzal plays well. But they don't have that it factor, I think, that so many of the other teams have. And without that, I find it so hard for them to be able to compete with Washington, with Pittsburgh, and in my opinion, with Philadelphia.
So to round out the Metro, I have 4 playoff teams coming from this division. Washington winning the division, Pittsburgh at number 2, Carolina at 3, and the New Jersey Devils in a wild card spot at number 4. For Washington, I think they lost a lot of pieces to help them win a cup. I don't think they lost a lot of pieces that will prevent them from being successful in the regular season. Pittsburgh added depth and speed, which is exactly what I thought they needed to do. I think as long as the guys that they brought in can individually put up 40 to 50 points, it's successful. They don't need to put up Phil Kessel numbers individually. As a unit, those 3 need to be more successful than the depth that the Penguins had last year, which is essentially, in my opinion, what kept them from having success in the postseason. Carolina, similar story to the Islanders, just kind of replace guys that they lost. Farland goes, Dzingel comes in, things like that. Losing Williams, their captain, I think hurts. They also were a team that had that it factor last year. There was just something about them. They just had the momentum. It's hard to replicate that. But I have them moving from a wild card position into the top 3 by virtue of the Islanders and the Blue Jackets taking a tumble. New Jersey, I think, did fantastic things in this offseason. If Taylor Hall's healthy, they were a playoff team a couple years ago when he was the MVP. You add P.K. Subban on the back end. You add Jack Hughes, the top overall draft pick, and you add Nikita Gusev, who was a star in the KHL. If any of that translates from where they used to be to where they are now, New Jersey's going to find success.
I have one problem with New Jersey. They have so many young guys, but they have not shown up so far. Jasper Bratt, he's minor. Nico Hirschshire, former number one overall pick, he's not playing like a number one overall pick should, and that's a problem for the Devils. Jack Hughes, I think, will play very well. I hope he does. I mean, I like to see top picks do well. However, Taylor Hall being on this team will help them immensely.
Huge.
Him being healthy all season is the make or break. If he is not healthy, they will not make the playoffs. Even if he is healthy, I don't think they're making the playoffs because their goaltending situation, I think, is even worse than the Islanders is. They have Corey Schneider and Mackenzie Blackwood. Corey Schneider is, he's on the way out, even more so than Henrik Lundqvist, I think. They did not have a good season last year. I just don't see him bouncing back as well. I'm sure he wants to bounce back, but man, it's hard for me to see that. And they just have so many young pieces around it. Oh, they have one young defenseman too. What's his name? Butcher, right?
Will Butcher.
Yeah, another young guy. So they're relying so much on these young guys. I don't think there's enough veteran presence to bring this team fully together to compete with teams like Washington, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia. They all are veteran teams. Even the Islanders at this point are a veteran team. I don't have the Islanders in the playoffs, but they are a team that whenever you have to play the Devils four times a season, if you go 1-3 in those games, well, you know, those are games you need to win to be able to make the playoffs in your division. I don't think they're going to. My Metro only sees three teams making the playoffs. I have Philly at number three, Washington at number two, and I have the Penguins actually winning the division. Simply for the fact that I think the rest of the division is so middle of the ground, iffy, weak enough that the Penguins will be able to jump ahead. They might be a 100-point division winner like we saw Nashville be last season. There might be not a lot of gap at the top. Usually we see Washington run away towards the 110 mark. I don't think we're going to see that this season. But like you said, we got younger. We got a little bit faster. Galchenyuk for Kessel, I think it's a good move.
It'll serve its purpose.
Evgeny Malkin is the difference maker for the Penguins. He had a offseason last year. He admitted it. He seems ready to go this season. I like that a lot. Crosby put up 100 points last season. On paper, this Penguins team is better than it was last season. I hope on the ice it is the same way.
So that's the Metro. Let's go to the Atlantic, and I don't think we're going to spend a lot of time here.
There's not a lot to talk about, I don't think.
From the bottom up, I have Ottawa,
yep.
Detroit. Stop me if something seems very off to you. Buffalo.
Those all sound good.
Montreal.
Okay.
Florida.
I have Florida and Montreal flip, but that's understandable, I think.
Boston, Toronto, Tampa Bay.
Same top three, same bottom three, just four and five is a little different.
Okay.
So Tampa, what's wrong with them? Nothing. Still the same excellent team they were last season. They had a top line in practice the other day that was Braden Point, Steven Stamkos, and Nikita Kucherov. If I am an NHL defenseman, I'm saying, coach, please take me off the ice. I can't do it. Because those are three guys that are top 20 players in the league, top 10 in some people's opinions. Nikita Kucherov set records last season. Steven Stamkos still can snipe at Braden Point. Put up a ton of points last year kind of out of nowhere. But they're so good. Andrei Vasilevskiy, he's in Vezina contender for the past few years. I think this year he is again. John Cooper, I was kind of rude to him when after their playoff demise last season. I think he is a good regular season coach. We'll see if I need to be rude to him again come April. But as it stands right now, he will be good enough to get Tampa Bay 50 wins. I don't think that there's any chance that they will not win this division. Toronto and Boston, I think we can both agree on. They're okay.
I think they're both good teams.
They're both good teams.
To me, what makes a difference, the reason I have Toronto jumping Boston, I don't think Boston made necessary moves to improve. I think Toronto did. Shipping out Kadri when they already have the center depth that they do without him to get a guy like Barry on the back end, I think is absolutely huge. For Boston, Backes was a guy I thought needed to go. Clears up cap space, gives you some more flexibility, and they didn't utilize him in the playoff run anyway. He's still there. I don't know that they made any big moves. To me, I don't think, with as competitive as the top of the NHL is, you can't afford to be stagnant, and I think that's what Boston did, and I think it'll come back to get them. Florida added the perfect cast.
It's great.
Bobrovsky in goal. Coach Quenneville, three-time Stanley Cup champion with the Blackhawks, is fantastic. Brett Connolly comes over from Washington. He had a 20-goal season last year for the Capitals.
Did he really?
Yes, he did.
Wow.
Noel Achari comes down from Boston, who is
That's a big loss.
Played
for
a significant role for the Bruins.
Very good
in the
penalty
playoff
killer.
Run. And Anton Stralman on the back end, a veteran guy, still has a little bit to give. They did not make a move that I dislike. I love the Florida Panthers.
Yeah, there's a lot going well for them. I think Quenneville might be the best move.
Yeah, I would agree.
The whole everything for everybody everywhere in the NHL. He is a coach that, for whatever reason, Chicago thought was the problem, and, well, he's not. Bobrovsky answers their problem. Roberto Luongo retired. What do we do? Well, we just go spend $70 million on the best goalie on the market, and we say, you're our guy, Bob. Do the job. And he says, okay, coach, and he's going to do the job this season. I have all the faith in him. Their offense is good. Jonathan Huberdeau, Mike Hoffman, Alexander Barkov, Vincent Trocheck. There's a lot of good guys I like on this team. They are a team I have only in a wild card position simply because the teams above them are just that stronger. Yeah. Come back next year, I think they can contend for this division. Like you said, Boston, they're kind of on the way down, didn't do enough. Toronto, like you said, made some very good moves. That's why I have them at 2 and 3. I don't think they can compete with Tampa for the division. Playoffs, different story. But for the division, Tampa seems to have a good regular season hold. But Toronto certainly is trending upward. But they have to be. For all they have done, they've given Mike Babcock resources, players, time. This is their year. If they don't get it done this year, this is going to be an entirely different team next season. They don't necessarily have to win a division if it means a Stanley Cup. So I have Montreal and Florida actually as the wild card teams. And then Boston, Toronto, Tampa as the top in that division.
Okay. Brett Connolly, 22 goals, 24 assists last year for the Capitals.
No way.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
So do you want to go to the West first or talk Eastern Conference playoffs real quick?
Go ahead. Do playoffs real quick.
So I have my team coming out of the East is the Tampa Bay Lightning. I like them and I like Toronto in their first round matchups. I like Florida over Washington, Pittsburgh over Carolina. And then I think Tampa Bay is going to get the job done. To me, people think they have something to prove in the playoffs. Not that they don't, but this isn't a Capitals type of team where they can't get out of the second round.
No.
You're looking at a team that went to the Stanley Cup final in 2015, would have gone again in 16 had they not met the hottest team in the playoffs and the eventual champion Penguins. Could have gone in 18 if they hadn't run into the nothing's going to stop us now that we got past the Penguins, Washington Capitals. Last year was a fluke.
Anomaly.
Last year was just crazy.
Who knows what was in the water.
This team has performed in the playoffs. They haven't got it done to the extent of winning a cup, but they've performed in the playoffs. So to me, there's no reason that they can't do it this year.
That's a safe pick. But who wants to be safe for picking for the Stanley Cup here in October? I'm going with the Maple Leafs out of the East,
actually. I thought about that. But simply, very heavily considered
just
that.
Just because they need to. Tampa, I think, they've done enough that they don't need to absolutely win it this year. Maybe next year if they don't win it, they do. But Toronto, man, they just keep losing to Boston. And they got rid of Kadri, who, with his multiple suspensions that he keeps getting against Boston in the playoffs, if we get rid of this guy, I feel like they could have won the series last year against Boston. Instead, Boston won, ended up being the runner-up Eastern Conference champion themselves, but I think that Toronto has all the pieces. They got to, Matt. They got Matthews.
Hey,
they got Marner. They got them all signed. They got Tavares. They have Kapanen looking good. They have everything. They can't not win.
I very strongly considered picking them as well.
I think the Metro is too weak for anybody to come out of there. I would love to see the Penguins come out of there. I picked them last year. How foolish was I to pick them last year? We'll not make that mistake again. Toronto is it for me in the East. Let's swing over to the West.
Central Division, starting from the bottom up, same thing. Stop me when you hear something that you don't like.
Okay, I didn't rank the bottom, but they'll probably all sound good.
At the very bottom, Minnesota. Then Chicago. Then Winnipeg. Then I get into playoff teams. The St. Louis Blues at a wild card spot. The Nashville Predators at number 3. The Dallas Stars at number 2. And the Colorado Avalanche winning the division.
Go through your 1, 2, 3 again.
Colorado at number 1.
Yeah.
Dallas at number 2.
Mm-hmm.
Nashville at number 3.
St. Louis at number 4?
Yes.
All right. I got that too.
Okay.
Bottom 3 I didn't rank, but they can essentially be in any order.
I mean, I don't think any team in this division is bad.
No.
But like Chicago's biggest move was Robin Lehner, a Vezina finalist last year, when they already have a goalie in Corey Crawford. Does that make the goaltending position stronger? Yeah. Does that make them a different team on the ice?
No.
Not really. And they need to be in this division. We already talked about the Jets. I just think this is such a strong division.
It is. It's good. St. Louis is a wild card team just because of how good Colorado and Dallas are.
Just because
are.
Of the level of competition.
Nashville is still, I think they can sustain their level to get 3. I don't think they're going to go too far, but they are a good enough team still to make the playoffs. I see them as a Washington Capitals type team. So sounds like we're on the same page for the Central. Give me your Pacific now.
All right. Starting at the bottom. Anaheim.
Sure.
L.A.
Yeah, both terrible.
Edmonton.
Also terrible.
San Jose.
Oof.
Vancouver.
Oh.
Calgary.
Okay.
Arizona.
Yeah.
Vegas.
So what's your playoff cutoff? What are the playoff
top
teams
four? Vegas gets in, Arizona gets in, Calgary gets in, Vancouver gets in.
Vancouver's a bold one.
Yes,
I do not have them in there. Mine go as San Jose 1, Vegas 2.
Ooh, you have San Jose winning the division.
Yeah, that I do. Vegas is 2, Arizona is 3, Calgary as the 4th, second wild card behind St. Louis.
Okay.
So we seem to be on the same page for Vegas, Arizona, and Calgary, but man.
I thought me having Arizona in my top 3 would be something that would get you, but you were on the
I
same
like me
page.
Some Rick Tocchet. They are on a good page. Yes,
San Jose is going to be an interesting one.
They're a team that they need to get done, too. They put so much money into this team.
That's the problem.
There's so much money in so many places. They got to get it done, Matt.
See, I disagree. They have so much money in so few places, and that's why I don't like it. Eric Carlson's making a whole lot of money.
He's
Brent
making
Burns
about
is
half
making
the team.
A whole lot of money, and that's going to be the issue. And to me, Vancouver had a better defense last year than San Jose did.
As a total core.
Yes, and in the offseason, Vancouver has added Jordy Benn, Tyler Myers, both on defense, and they added Ferland on the wing. They already have some playmakers. San Jose loses captain Joe Pavelski. They lose Gustav Nyquist. I just see too many losses for the Sharks and not enough flexibility to make any other moves.
I don't know. It's tough. They still are a good enough team. Carlson and Burns are good. Losing Pavelski will hurt. That's why I don't think they're going to go too far in the playoffs. But as far as regular season is concerned, I think they're good. Vegas is another team that will be just as strong as they have been. Not super duper strong, but good enough to get the second. Arizona's a team on the rise. Calgary, I just see last year as kind of, I don't see them repeating as well as they did last year. It's hard to.
They've got questions at goalie that I need to see some serious answers to. Mark Giordano is not going to win the Norris again. He was fantastic.
He hopes they would, but
it's not going to be the same.
Happen.
I just, yeah, there's a lot of good things going on there, but also some question marks that I got to see answers to.
So we have our playoffs. Who's your pick from the West?
The Dallas Stars.
Okay.
I like the Stars a lot. I like a lot of the teams in the Central, but I'm going to go with Dallas. It's a team that I liked last year. It's a team that, as you mentioned, was a goal away from advancing to the Western Conference Final. They've added, I think, the pieces that they absolutely needed to add, and I like what they can do this year.
Looks like we're on the same page. I also have Dallas out
of
the West. Like, they have done nothing wrong. Ben Bishop, excellent.
Fantastic.
Defense is great. Heiskanen's just getting older, getting better. Klingberg's great. They added Pavelski. They have Ben. They have Seguin. They have all the things they need to win the West and to win the Stanley Cup over the Maple Leafs.
I also have them winning the Stanley Cup.
How about that? We got two Dallas Star fanboys here in Pittsburgh. That's all the time we got for NHL. A lot more to come this season, but that's our preview for this. One last preview to get tonight. MLB postseason preview. Wild card started last night. National League was Washington versus Milwaukee. It was Milwaukee's game. They were in control of it. They got two home runs off Max Scherzer in the first two innings. They were in control. Then the eighth inning turned around, and we say, Josh Hader, come in, get us two innings, get the save. So he comes in, and what does he do? He loads the bases. He gives up a hit to Juan Soto. An error in right field leads to a 4-3 lead for the Nationals, and good old former Pirate Daniel Hudson comes in to close the game. The Nationals now have a date with the Dodgers coming up in the division series. That was a wild card game. Tonight's game, it's already kind of going crazy. The Rays had a leadoff home run against the A's. They got a lot going on.
Currently, they lead 3-0 in the bottom of the second.
They're looking good. Just for the record, I had Washington. I also had Tampa Bay. You had the same, correct?
Yes, I had the same.
So, independent of the results of last night and currently, we had the proper picks.
Well, yeah, so far.
But now let's move into the division to see what we got going on. So St. Louis-Atlanta is an established matchup. St. Louis went 2-4 in the regular season against Atlanta. I think they got it, though. They were my preseason pick to win it, so I'm going to have to stick with them through the playoffs, unfortunately. I would have liked to have picked the Braves, but I like St. Louis in this matchup.
St. Louis has always been a team that performs well at home, and I think they'll do the same in this series. The Braves are 4-6. In their last 10 coming in, and
not
that's not how you can afford to come into the playoffs. So I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to take the Cardinals in that series.
Dodgers-Nationals is the other National League matchup. 4-3, the Dodgers had the advantage over the Nationals in the regular season, which was a close margin seeing how the Dodgers won over 100 games. You got to go with the Dodgers, though. Their pitching, I think, is on equal terms, but their hitting is just so much better. Jock Peterson is actually getting it done finally. Cody Bellinger is an MVP candidate. The Dodgers, they're kind of like Tampa and Toronto. They got to do it this year, Matt. They got their last 2 years and lost. losing the first round to Washington isn't a possibility.
Yeah, I think they're going to get past the Nationals as well. They're just such a complete team. They're rested. I think when you talk about the pitching, you look at the Nationals having to use both Scherzer and Strasburg in some capacity already just to get to this series. The Dodgers have the luxury of not having to do such things. So I think something as simple as that could be the difference. But yeah, the Dodgers are just such a well-rounded team.
Moving into the AL, Houston will play either Tampa or Oakland. I don't think it matters to either of us. I got Houston. Man, you just look up this team. Look at the pitching. Look at their offense. Look at the defense. There are no shortcomings anywhere. This team is just, it's something else. I got the Astros here.
I do too. Their core from their championship is still there. They're not only arguably on paper the best team in baseball. At 8-2 in their last 10, they are the hottest team, one of the hottest teams in baseball. I think one of the things that I had backing the Rays in the wild card game was their pitching. If there's any team that can match up with their pitching, it's the Houston Astros.
They have the two best pitchers in Major League Baseball this season. Gerrit Cole and Justin Verlander have been on a whole nother level. Then we got the whole, maybe we will score 20 runs a game in the Yankees and Twins series. Both these teams had over 300 home runs this season. It's crazy. The Yankees took the season series 4-2. I have the Yankees with a slight edge just because they do have the home field advantage in this. Their pitching is better than the Twins. So while they will both slug the ball a lot, when it comes down to it, I would rather have Aroldis Chapman than anybody that the Twins have in their bullpen.
I'm going to go with Minnesota. I mean, if there's a team that can out-home run the Yankees, it's the Minnesota Twins this year. And just to go back to who's hot and who isn't, Minnesota's 8-2 in their last 10 coming in. The Yankees are 4-6.
Yankees did play the Rays, though.
That's true. But I think it's all about how you come into the playoffs. And when these two teams are arguably the best home run hitting teams in baseball,
I think this will be the most exciting series.
I think it could be as well. But I'm going to take the Twins, and it's a team that can win on the road. And they're going to have to take one on the road at some point, and I think they'll be able to get it done.
But is it a team that can beat the Astros?
No, it's not.
No.
I think the Astros will represent the American League in the World Series. Again, this is just such a good team. This is going to be a good series too, though, I think, because it's the two hottest teams. And it's going to be the pitching matchup of the Astros against the bats of the Twins. But I think the pitching will come out on top. Houston has the bats to back it up, so I'm going to go Astros.
2 years ago, the Yankees played the Astros in the ALCS. The Yankees took them to Game 7, but the Astros got the job done. I think if we get to Game 7 this year, it's the Yankees that are going to be getting the job done. I like them going into the season. They have potentially the best offense all around. Not the best players. Alex Bregman has that title to himself on the Astros. But the Yankees are just, I think the pitching just won't be able to match up against the Yankees offense. The smaller park the Yankees have will be beneficial for them more so, I think. I got the Yankees over the Astros. Moving to the NL, I got the Cardinals over the Dodgers. Like I said, just because they were my preseason pick. The Cardinals, I liked last year so much when they hired Mike Schilt. He did very well with the team this season. Kind of faltered towards the end, but I still think that they will do well enough to beat the Dodgers.
I'm going to go with the Dodgers. It's a team that's won the National League pennant the last 2 years. I like the Cardinals, but I don't see anything from the Cardinals that will stop the Dodgers. So I'm going to go with the Dodgers representing the National League for the third straight year.
Will they win it, though?
For the third straight year, they will not.
They will lose again.
I'm going with the Astros. I think the home field advantage that they have, 60 wins at home this season, they're hot. They've got the roster. Everything is working for the Astros, just like it was for the Tampa Bay Lightning in the playoffs last year. So watch this crash
first
and burn.
First round exit.
But I like the Astros a lot.
Seeing how I don't have the Astros, I can't exactly pick them.
True.
I will pick. So we have entirely different. You have Astros over Dodgers. I have Cardinals over Yankees, as I predicted. Cardinals have a little
sticking with it.
A little bit better pitching. Absolutely got to. They're both here, so I might as well stick with it. What was your preseason prediction?
Ooh, Yankees over Cubs. Cubs didn't work out. Yankees have the possibility, but Cubs wasn't good.
Yeah.
Cubs faltered.
Mine's still in the air, so I'm going to stick with it. Cardinals have better pitching than the Yankees. Should be exciting, though. MLB playoffs underway already. More to be discussed next week. We're running really short on time tonight.
Hey, we got a lot going on. There's a lot happening this week.
You heard quick picks. Time to zip through them. Football, Rams at Seahawks. I got the Rams.
I have the Rams as well. Ravens at Steelers. I'm going with the Steelers.
Me too. We're 2-2 so far. Packers at Cowboys. You got the Packers?
I got the Packers.
All right. 3-for-3, both of us. Switching to college football. Number 14, Iowa at number 19, Michigan. Gotta go with Harbaugh.
I wanted to go with Iowa. I went with Michigan.
All right.
Number 7, Auburn. At number 10, Florida. I picked against Auburn on the road before. I'm not going to do it again. Auburn.
You're picking Auburn? I'm picking going with Auburn. Florida. We're finally differing a little bit. Number 25, Michigan State, for whatever reason, will be ranked this week. They will get crushed by number 4, Ohio State, correct?
Yes, correct.
Absolutely.
Hockey picks. Sharks at Golden Knights. Revenge game. I'm going Golden Knights.
Me too. Same revenge. We got one different. Look to be a great week next week. Bold predictions. Time to zip through them. Two NHL. First one, I got two about Toronto, funny enough. I think Toronto will have 3 players in the top 10 in scoring this year. Could be Mitch Marner, could be Austin Matthews, could be William Nylander, could be John Tavares, could be Morgan Riley even. It won't be Morgan Riley, but I threw that one in there for fun. 3 of the top 10 scorers.
All right, let's see. All of mine are NHL, so I'll go wherever I want here. I'm going to start in the Central Division, which I said how much I love. 3 of the 5 top teams in the NHL regular season are coming from the Central. Colorado, Dallas, Nashville will all be in the top 5 of the league standings.
Reminds me of the Metro a few years ago.
Yeah.
Going to number 2, John Tavares will lead the league in goals. He is a proven goal scorer, puts up 40 every year. Could be an off year for Ovechkin. 50 is in the realm of possibility for Tavares.
I'm going to go again with division talk. I'm going to say there will be an NHL division winner that does not have 100 points. Could it be in the Metro?
Yeah, it could be. Like,
maybe.
We talk about
could it be in the Pacific? Maybe. Last year, the Central was one with 100 points. It won't be the Central, but I think there will be a division with less than 100 points from the winner.
Ooh, that's going to be a weak division. Last one for me. Going back to the NFL, I said by week 8 there will be an NFL coach fired. I'm going to shorten the trigger on that. After the Redskins get blown up by the Patriots this week, Jay Gruden will be said, yeah, pack up your belongings. You can get out of here. His game plan this week at quarterback is, we don't have one. So if that is any indicator for the Washington Redskins and their fan base, this guy is a moron that has no idea what he's doing, hasn't known for the last 4 years. He's saying, where's RG3 when you need him? I don't know. Maybe he can find a job in Baltimore. Either way, he's got to go.
Jay Gruden has never been so thankful that a radio talk show was running out of time. One more in the NHL. Nathan MacKinnon is going to be my pick for MVP. Last year I went with Johnny Gaudreau. I'm going with Nathan MacKinnon.
Should have won it when Hall did.
I love the Colorado Avalanche. He is establishing himself as a top player in the league. I think big things are coming out of Denver this year, and I think Nathan MacKinnon is going to take home MVP honors.
But no more big things that come out of the radio station tonight.
No, we are out of time. We had a lot to cover. We hope you guys all enjoyed it and stuck with us through all of it. We will certainly have more of it at the same time next week. So until then, thank you for tuning in, and have a good night.